He is here. Why don't you lift your hands right now? Let's just move according to what the Spirit is leading us. Jesus, thank you for your presence. Thank you, O God, that we want to be in your presence, Jesus. And when we're in your presence, O God, I still want to be awe in your presence. I still want to be reverent in your presence, O God. I need to know when I walk in this place, I really am on holy ground, and that today can be a day that anything can happen, God. You can turn our life around today. You can heal our body today. You can provide a miracle today, God. Today is still the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I'm so grateful for the men and women that love you and that are hungry for your presence. And I'm saying, God, don't disappoint. I pray, God, allow us, oh God, to go in the rivers of life. Allow us, oh God, to go deep where you are, Lord Jesus, and do work, oh God, that we cannot do by ourselves, but the work of God can take place, oh God, in one moment, in one instant. And I want to say yes to whatever you desire to do, God. I want to say yes, work on our heart and our mind. I pray. I say yes, oh God, to draw us closer to your Spirit. Hallelujah. Draw us, I pray, oh God, to a sensitivity that can block again every distraction that may try to come in. We want to flow freely with your anointing, God. Flow freely with your presence, oh God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. It seems like you guys are some praying people. Praise God. Praise God. And let's keep that going. I would admonish you all to be here Sunday morning at 10:45 and help us fill these altars and help us pray. Our banner behind us says, back to the basics. And Jesus said himself that my house should be called a house of prayer. I want us to come in here every single week with a drawing, with a pulling that I've got to pray. I've got to get in God's presence. Hallelujah. I've got to make myself available to the moving of the Spirit. The Spirit blows where it listeth. You don't know where it comes from, but you hear the sound thereof. And God wants to breathe in this place life into every heart. God wants to breathe revelation into every mind. God wants to change us to be able to have tools and equipments to fight against the hand of the enemy. God wants to raise up a victorious church. If you believe that, say amen. Hallelujah. So good to see you all tonight. Praise God. Let me go over just some announcements real quick. If you are single, which means you're not married, no matter what age you are, our home is open, and we're having a singles fellowship this Saturday at our house at 6 o'clock. We were asking if you do have children. Sister Breckenridge and her husband will be watching and having activities for the kids here. We just need a count. So please let us know. And invite somebody out to that are single. We're going to just have fun. The Haddocks are going to help us out with some games, and they always have the best games. Praise God. And we always have a good time with that. And then, of course, Sunday morning, we are continuing in on our lesson of don't get it twisted. Did God speak to you this past Sunday? Praise God. Let's give God a hand praise for that word. Praise God. We give God glory, honor, and praise. All right, we are at the last lesson concerning our heart, and we're going to conclude our study in these four specific factors that have attacked and will try to continuously attack our hearts. Each one of them causes an imbalance that will make us sick. Each of them can create an imbalance through debtor relationship. Again, we said before, I'm saying again to reiterate for those that may not have been here, think about the attitude or the feeling, or some people say the some type of way feeling you have towards somebody that owes you a whole lot of money. And you see them quite often, and they had a particular date they said they were going to pay you back that money. Now, again, I'm not talking about anybody here, so don't. I'm just telling you right now, I'm not. I know what you're thinking back there. No, I'm not. I'm giving a general statement, okay? I already knew you were thinking that. I'm like, oh, here we go. I'm just saying in general, right? Okay. If you talk to me, you know how Pastor Barlow and Sister Barlow operates. But I'm talking about people that have no intention on doing what they said they were going to do. And there's that awkwardness, right? And a lot of people in life, when we're dealing with issues of our heart, you know, sometimes the actual problem is not what manifests itself. Sometimes symptoms manifest themselves. And sometimes people can have a bad attitude or a bad spirit, or they may, quote unquote, you say they, well, they're just having a bad day. There might be something deeper that's going on that needs to be revealed. And that's what we've been talking about the past few weeks. But the main thing is we cannot ignore things that God brings to our attention. That's why the preached word is so important. The Bible says the word of God is like a two-edged sword. The Bible says it's supposed to convict us, praise God, and challenge us, and then help us to do what? James said you need to see what happens once God reveals things to you, and then go to a mirror and then make the change. I was with Jay Butcher yesterday, and I was upset with him. Again, we laughed about it, but I was at their house maybe about 4 months ago. And they had these nice cupcakes. Pastor Braun likes cupcakes. And I was having a good time eating the cupcakes. And then I had something on my face. You know, some icing. And they said after a while, hey, Pastor, you got a little, you know, a little smudge on your face, you know. So I think I wiped it off. Lo and behold, I leave their house. I go take care of other business. And guess what? Still on my face. That's right. So I called him out on it when I saw him. I said, hey, why didn't you tell me that I still had it on my face? You know what he said? I did tell you. It's not my fault you didn't go check the mirror. Yeah. I looked at him and I said, you know what? You're right. God can tell us exactly what's going on. But unless we take the extra time to have a self-evaluation moment, we are going to do things and act ways and look certain ways that we might not be very proud of. And so God is saying, I'm going to teach you my word. I am going to present my word to you. I'm going to create an opportunity for you to come drink of the well of living water. And then you got to say, I will taste and see that the Lord is good. I will grab a hold of his word and dig into it and chew on it and get as much as I can in order to see myself for what I really am. And you know what will happen when you do that? Lord, I can't live without you. God, I need your mercy. God, the more you know God, the more you know you need God. Did you hear what I said? The more you get in his presence, the more you recognize I got to get in his presence. And that's why Isaiah said, Lord, when I saw you and your train fill the temple, I said, woe is me. What happened with Peter when Jesus got on the boat? He said, Lord, depart from me, for I am a man who is a sinner. The closer you get to God, the more you recognize you have no business being in his presence. But aren't you glad that he says, come on in. I will put coal upon your lips, and I am the one that will cleanse you up. And so God, no, I'm not coming to you because I'm clean. I'm coming to you because I need to get clean and refreshed. And the closer I get to you, the more refreshed I am. And I feel that strongly. But life can be hard on our heart because life is full of trouble and issues and problems and outside influences, sometimes things we can't control, but most times things that are outside of our control. And over time, we can develop, I say things like being insensitive or desensitized because we get so used to negativity and we get so used to pain and so used to worry. We just think that's the way it's supposed to be, and it creeps in on our emotions. It creeps in on our anxiety. It creeps in with depression. And sometimes we just say we got to live with it. I'm going to tell you, not in the house of God, not as believers. I'm not saying you cannot ever suffer with those things. I'm just saying you got to push against those things and say, God, this is not aligning up with your word. Word for you.
I have a word for you that tells you by my stripes you can be healed. And that includes emotional healing. That includes, come on, you got to believe the word of God. God says, I want to make you whole. He said, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I come to have that you might have life and it more abundantly. So when I don't see my life looking abundant, I say, God, that must mean I got to get in your presence. But I tell you what, when I get up off of that altar or that prayer room or that closet, I can say I have joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's a matter what the world says. We fight against it. So I'm not knocking anybody. Doctor prescribes you pills, you better take them. Pastor Brawl's taking his high cholesterol medicine. But I'm saying I'm going to get off of it in Jesus' name. Come on now. Left alone, these heart attackers will linger for a lifetime, and they will do incredible damage in our lives. It will cause so many issues in relationships. It will cause so many battles that God is saying, I never intended you to fight. You'll carry burdens that God said, I never intended you to carry all that weight. Human beings, sometimes we try to be strong and carry all these things. And God says, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. There's certain things that God has not called us to carry. There's some burdens and some weights God is saying, lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down at the feet of Jesus. Jesus is the one that can carry anything, but sometimes we try to carry too much and it weighs on our heart. Jeremiah 17 and 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Or desperately wicked. Who can know it? Or who can understand it? We all would deceive ourselves if we don't think that sometimes our heart and our emotions can be working against us. I'd rather be truthful and say my heart sometimes lies. Sometimes my heart deceives me. Sometimes my heart causes me to have misunderstandings. The Bible says in Matthew 15, 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart and they defile the man. Because there's some things that can get built up and then you're going to spew them out. You're going to say things that you probably said, where did that come from? I'll tell you where it came from. It's been years of not dealing with secret issues of the heart. It's been years not dealing with guilt and anger and greed. It's a long time coming and it manifests itself. It says in Matthew 15 and verse 19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornicators and thefts and false witnesses and blasphemies. Heart issues make intimacy difficult because there's trust issues that get in the way and there are things that revolve around unknown places, and when you are secretive it causes problems. And that's why God wants us as well to be transparent. There's got to be people in your life you can just keep it real with and just tell them about things you're dealing with, not for them to go and share it everywhere else, but that they recognize that I'm going to pray for you, but I'm glad you made yourself accountable and vulnerable to somebody. We got to get out this thing in Pentecost that we can't share some sins that we might be dealing with or some struggles we might be dealing with. We got to understand that God can heal anybody and save anybody and wash anybody, and sometimes I got to confess my faults to somebody else and say, hey, can you pray for me in this area? I'm not the strongest person in the world, but I know when I'm weak, God is strong. When I make myself vulnerable and I say, God, I got to trust you above myself. Because there are going to be a lot of hypocrites on that judgment day.
Say this altar is my friend. Some of y'all are allergic to the altar. Did you hear what I said? Some of you act like you are allergic to the altar. The altar was the first place that they had to go to. Did she not teach that just now through our prayer? You got to come to the altar. The altar is a place of safety. The altar is a place of saying, I'm sacrificing myself. What does he say? Not my will, God, but thy will be done. And Jesus Christ became the ultimate sacrifice, did he not? So again, you ask yourself, how are things with my heart? Most people kind of say, well, how things are with your job? How's your job going? Hey, how are things going with your family life? How are things going with your finances? How are things going with your reputation? How are things going with your health? But not too many people say, how are things going with your heart? That secret place that nobody can see. How is that really doing? It's kind of an awkward question. That's why people don't ask it. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 4:23 also says, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do, according to the New Living Translation. So we hit on guilt, which is the I owe you. And that has to be done by confession, as far as getting healing. Code red is anger. You owe me. That is fixed by forgiveness. Code yellow is greed. I owe me, and you're released from that by being a giver. And today we're talking about code green, and that is jealousy. Jealousy. Oh, jealousy is just something that happens among kids. Jealousy is just something that happens among teenagers. Adults were smarter than kids and teenagers. We put it through filters and we call it other things, but it's just jealousy. We just refuse to admit it. You can know jealous people by how they, if you tell something good about what's going on in your life, you know how you can see jealousy? They always got to one-up you, don't they? Can't you just say, good for you, without also adding what your kids are doing? Right? I know I had a pastor friend of mine. He said, Brother Barlow, I can only tell you some things going on at my church because if I share with other people, they also want to tell me what's going on in their church. I said, no, I don't need to tell you what's going on in my church. I want to hear what's going on in your church and how blessed you are. But not everyone's like that. And if we admit we're jealous, someone would just give us a smart aleck comment. Grow up. Get over it. Right? Yeah, maybe. Can you be brave enough to evaluate yourself and say, I'm a jealous person? There are people you don't like simply because they're ahead of you in your mind. I know it's going to be quiet today. It's okay. When you see them, all you can see is not what you have, but when you see them, all you can see is what you don't have. When you see them, you only see what you lack in and where you come short in. Intelligence, skills, nice car, better job, bigger house, health, weight, build, height, whatever, opportunities. Maybe the friends they run with. The list can go on and on and on where you have a spirit of jealousy and then it manifests itself in so many ways. One way is you try too hard to please people. And I say you do what I call extra stuff that is not actually drawing people closer to you. It's actually pushing people away because people can see through phony and fake. Because your motives are not right. And in your mind, you say things all the time. It's not fair. But what you really want to say is it's not fair. You want to say, I wish I had it. I want it more. Having more wouldn't resolve your problem because it's just a heart issue. Because everybody has somebody that has more than you. There's always be somebody more, better at something in your life. And so if you think you beat that one person, there'll be somebody else that you got to beat. And your whole life will become unbalanced. It'll be a competition. And you can't be satisfied with what God put inside of you and what special qualities that you have. Can I tell you, God has said you are special in your own way. Every single one of us has a unique fingerprint. And so I can't worry about what you got. I got to thank God for what he has given me. At the same time, praising God what he has given you. I'm not trying to take away from what you got. There's enough pie to feed everybody. The thing about God is that you cannot exhaust God. You cannot bankrupt God. God is an expanse of God. And so I am not inhibited by your blessing. In fact, I'm thankful for your blessing. It just tells me I got a good blessing, God. And if God bless you, praise God, I'm thankful for that. He's going to bless me in my time, in my season. But while it's your season, I'll thank God for your season. While it's your time to have a miracle, I'm going to praise God for your miracle. When it's your time to rejoice, I'm going to rejoice with you. I'm not going to be jealous. I'm going to have a joy that God says you are blessed. People are not your problem because they can't fix your problem. You know, another thing is, you don't know the whole story of the person you're jealous of. You don't know the tears they had to cry to get where they are. You don't know how the hard work they had to get through. You don't know what battles they had to fight to get where they are. And so don't always look at the thing you see in front. There might be some deeper things that got them where they are. And so what you need to do is say, God, thank you for pulling them out, whatever they got to go through to get where they are. I'm not jealous. I'm thankful that they were able to come out of it and still give you praise. If they're giving God glory, then you give God glory along with them and say, thank you, Lord God, for their lives. The only thing others could possibly do to make you feel better is to fail. And that's another thing you'll see in jealous people. They always talk about people. And I'm going to start marking them in the church too as well. I'm going to give you forewarning right now. So don't say I didn't warn you when we have to mark somebody that constantly causes discord in the body of Christ, that constantly is stirring up trouble, that's constantly have a negative word to say or stir up trouble. You will be called out. I've never done that before, Lord. It's like you better do it. Because if it keeps building up and destroying the body, we got to take care of the body, right? And there's not one individual that's bigger than the body of Christ. And so jealousy will cause us to live for other people's failures. Now, what kind of life is that? That the only way you can come up is by somebody else failing. That's horrible. I shouldn't feel that way, but I do. I don't want to admit it, but I have it inside of me. Shouldn't feel this way. But it's a heart problem. I have four prizes up here that I want to give away. I have four prizes up here I want to give away. Who would like a prize? Come and get it. Come and get it. I got to randomly give them out. All right, just pick a number. I got an idea. Pick a number. I only have four, so you four got it. It's just four. Perfect. Well, I'm sorry. Pick a number between one and four. Three, you got a CD. God bless you. You probably heard it way back 2012. All right, pick one, two, or four. One, I think you would enjoy this book. Courtesy of Brother Kanan, bought a lot of these for the church members. Not a fan. That would absolutely bless your heart. God bless you. God bless you. All right, two or four? Four. Oh, look what you got. You got a Milky Way. Praise God. All right, you got the last one. Look what you got. He got a $10 bill. He got a $10 bill. Now, if I had a little more money, I probably would have got an iPad, CD player, you know. Now, these are some good men and women that came up here, but just by way of illustration, I'll use myself. All right, I'll keep it real. If I was one of the four, and I got the Milky Way, and y'all got the CD and the 10 bucks. Are y'all hearing me? The problem wouldn't be you having a problem with the other three.
The problem wouldn't be you with the other three. The problem would be the Milky Way to the person who gave it away. How come I got a Milky Way, but they got the other stuff? You see how jealousy works? You're not mad. You're probably not mad at Josh because Josh probably goes shit. So I get it. You know, you probably already passed it by now. Probably by now, the $10 bill is probably in your hand. I understand. Lord knows I understand. Because don't let us be at a party and I get the better gift. My wife will be pinching me on the side. I'm telling the truth. Oh, here. Here. The issue is not always with the persons that get the gifts. It's with the giver. Think about the scripture where the Lord talks about how there were some that were idle. And the Lord says, hey, I'll pay you a certain amount to come work in my field. And let's say it's 12 o'clock in the afternoon, right? And they've been working until like 9:30. And there was a couple other people kind of hanging out, you know, and the Lord says, hey, you guys want to come and work here for a little bit? And they went and worked at 9:30, and they got off at 10 o'clock, and guess what? They got paid the same as the person who started at 12 o'clock. And what happened? The person at 12 o'clock was like, don't you got a little bit more? I mean, you're not going to pay me the same that worked 10 hours as you did the person who worked a half an hour, are you, Lord? It's not fair. I want more than what they got. And the issue then becomes not horizontal, it becomes vertical. God, how come I'm not receiving the same way somebody else was able to receive? What do you have against me? And jealousy is not always a them, but the jealousy starts with the you and the I, the me, because I don't think that I got what everybody else got. So, you know what jealousy is? God, you owe me. If God hadn't let this happen, then I wouldn't be in this place. God, if you would have blocked this thing, then I wouldn't have to deal with that pain I had to deal with. God, you see my life, you see my background, and God, you see my hurt, and you see my pain, and I look at where I'm at, and I see how much I loved you, and then I look across the street or somebody else, and they're favored, they're blessed, and they're doing all kind of things, they're not sick in their body, and here I am. God, you owe me. But God has never claimed to be a fair God. It's not in the Bible. Fairness disappeared after the Garden of Eden and the fall of man. God now is just sovereign. God just does what he wants to do. And when we as a people of God, the children of God, even the slaves of God, understand it's a master-slave relationship, then we can be okay with whatever our allotment is. And we begin to say, God, not my will, but thy will be done. I don't have to be focused on what God blesses somebody else with. All I have to do is say, God, wherever you want me to be, then you must trust me to handle where I'm at. And the faster I get my eyes off what somebody else is doing or what I have or don't have and just start saying, Lord, if you put me here, then I'm going to prosper where I am planted. I'm going to praise where I'm planted. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice, and my thankfulness won't be based on how much I up somebody else. My thankfulness will be, I'm just glad I'm in your kingdom. You are sovereign. You are God. You are in control. I might not have the best anything, but if I got what you gave me, then I'm in a place I need to be in. I'm not comparing myself to anybody else. Wherever you place me, I'm grateful. Three times in Daniel, and we're dealing with Daniel, of course. We will be next few weeks. But in chapter 4, judgment is pronounced on King Nebuchadnezzar precisely because he doesn't get it. He thought he built that kingdom, and God had to wake him up and says, I put you here to judge my people. And you need to understand that I'm a sovereign God, and I do what I want to do. And many of us get so sideways with God because we have not yet submitted to that concept that God does not answer to any one of us.
And we all sometimes think we're doing God a favor when we do, quote unquote, something spiritual or something nice. And we try to say, okay, God, check. There's my thing. Where's yours? God don't have no list. But when we don't understand it properly, bitterness, it's in our spirit towards our God. Because we have misinterpreted our relationship. He died for us, and now I am a slave to him. But when I start off from that and I go back to the basics of my relationship with God, I'm not getting sideways when things don't go my way. It must be what God will. So, Lord, I pray your strength and your mercy in the middle of what I'm dealing with. If you allowed it, let me say I thank you in all things. He didn't say thank him for all things. He said give thanks in all things. And he said that, now watch this revelation, that's the will of God. The will of God is to understand, God, no matter where you have me, I know you are in control. So God, I thank you. If I got breath in my body, I might not be in the environment I want to be in, but I can still say thank you. And God is trying to raise up a church that knows how to say thank you in the good and in the bad. God is trying to raise up a church that says, I don't base my praise on how good my life is going. I base my praise on this breath in my body. He woke me up this morning and he started me on my way. That's enough to give God praise for. He gave me energy. He gave me a mind. And I thank him for those places. And I forget about what else other people are trying to impose upon me. And I'm going to be made stronger through that. Daniel 4:32, you will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. Seven times will pass by you until you acknowledge that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. God forbid that ever happens to any of us. But what could it be in our own lives that we're still going through a storm and we have not yet acknowledged, okay, God, you are in control. I gotta make sure I know that God, you're in control. After 7 years of him living that way, he finally lifts up his head and says, okay, God, you're sovereign. I want you to close your eyes right now and just lift your hands and just say those words. God, you're sovereign. God, you are in control of my life. My life's not my own. And when I get that, God, some of these nagging spirits and attitudes and emotions will leave my life. God, you don't owe me anything. If God doesn't do not one other thing for us or this church, God owes us nothing. He's already paid it all. Daniel 4:35, all the people of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? How many times do we question God? How many times do we say, God, why didn't you fix it? Why didn't you change it? You can even look at Mary and how she felt and how Martha felt. Lord, if you had not been here, and God is saying, I don't answer to you all. I didn't come on purpose because there might be something else I want to teach you and reveal to you. Paul, I'm not removing that thorn in your flesh because I want to show you that my grace is sufficient even when you're weak. God sometimes has his own ways, and he says, my ways are above your ways, and my thoughts are above your thoughts. Ways of God are so much higher than man, and the faster we realize that, the easier it will be to serve him unconditionally. I know God could have fixed some things, but he still said no. Our jealousy might register to us as sin that we confess, but it seldom registers as a grudge against God himself. But I want to check every one of us and say, do we have grudges against God? When we say that, we're saying, God, you owe me. Cain and Abel, what happened? Cain couldn't do it directly to God, but I know how to get to God. I'll get to somebody he loves. And jealousy caused him to kill, right? Murder his own brother. You might not physically assault somebody, but you can in the spirit. You can weigh heavy against somebody, and you can be a burden on somebody. Esau and Jacob. Think about what Jacob did because he did not have the birthright. Think about what Joseph's brothers did out of jealousy. They still were the grandkids of Abraham. You all still were the tribes of Israel, but you couldn't get your eyes focused on what God had for you because you were so busy on what God had for Joseph. And many of us are missing what God has for us, and we're not seeking God in a personal relationship. We're just so frustrated with everybody else and what God is doing in them. And God is saying, you're too distracted by what's going on in other people's lives instead of recognizing I got something for you as well. God has something for every individual in this house. God has something for you, but you got to get your eyes off the people and get your eyes on God and stop being distracted by Joseph. Stop being distracted by Abel. Stop being distracted by Esau. James 4:1, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Don't they come from your own lust, your own desires? Get them in check. There's one cause of all our relational conflicts, our desires. External conflicts that we see, whether it's in a church or in a home or a job, is because everybody wants their own way. And that's why usually you hurt the people you love the most. You hurt the most. Because they're in close proximity to you. And your emotions are going to spill out, and they're the first one to get hit by it. The common denominator in all relationship conflicts, and you know it's the truth, is two letters, M-E. Conflicts in anything, in churches, I want my way. If it's not my way, I'm going to get bent out of shape. Conflict in homes and marriages, I want my way. Not my way, I get bent out of shape. Any relationship you deal with, it's about ME. And the more you focus on ME, the more problems you're going to have because everybody's doing the same thing. James 4:2, you want something, but you don't get it. You kill, you covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight, you do not have because you do not ask God. Your focus is on the wrong thing. Covet means to simply hotly pursue something. Covet means to hotly pursue something. It is a word picture of someone constantly trying to meet a need they can never seem to meet. Think about it this way. An appetite by its very nature can never fully be and finally satisfied. It can only be temporarily quenched. Think about all the things that people have vices in their lives. It's an appetite, right, for something. It's a thirst that cannot be quenched. Stuff. Can you ever have enough stuff? No. Money. Can you ever have enough money? No. Recognition. Success. Progress. Happiness. Intimacy. Sexual relationships, it goes on and on and on. And our natural desires crave these things, and they go after these things, but they are never, ever going to be quenched. So, what is conflict? It's someone trying to satisfy their desire in a way that conflicts with my desire. So until I can look at the mirror and own up for the blame of me, I will always blame somebody else. Somebody else is always out to get me. Somebody else is always looking to hurt me. Someone else is always trying to up in me. Blame is the admission that I can't be happy without your cooperation. And we in this hour must rid ourselves and cut the forces that say my happiness is based on somebody else. My happiness nor your happiness cannot be based on outside influences. Because outside influences are always going to change. They're always going to be variables. And if you live your life dependent upon other people's lifestyle reactions or whatever towards you, and that's where you find your happiness, I guarantee you, I'm looking at a miserable person. I'm talking to somebody today. You're miserable because you're focused on others and you can't change others. You can't fix others, but you can fix yourself. And you can have control over yourself. Again, 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Jesus knows all about our sorrow. He will guide till the day is done. Did I skip a line? There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. We got to look to him. If it's important to you, it's important to God. So tell him about it. But I think that God owes me. Be honest with God. Oh, I've had some talks with the Lord. Lord, I thought. And he just said, she thought wrong. But I was honest. And it's okay to be honest before God about things you struggle with. But tell him about it. Be transparent before him. Be honest about it. Adam, where are you? He said, I'm right here. Excuse my dress. But I know you can fix it. Are you hearing me tonight? James 4:3. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. Be aware that God may and probably will say no to a lot of our requests. Why? Don't you say no to your kids for stuff? I hope you do. Right? Because you rather tell them no if it's in their best interest, that they might not see, nor will they even understand. Sometimes, Rodney, Devin, Jaden, I'm not going to explain my no. I just know it's in your best interest. So God, our Heavenly Father, said, I'm not going to explain my no, but it's in your best interest because I want to do what's for your good. She read it earlier, James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and come up down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, which means God will be consistent at blessing you when the time is right. So as I wrap it up, jealousy is dangerous because it shapes our attitudes towards other people. When they have done nothing except pull ahead of us in a race they are not even aware of. You're upset with people they don't even know you're upset with them because they're not even focused on you. Jealousy eventually becomes resentment, and then it begins to affect our entire life in a destructive way. So now the question is, who do I secretly resent? What category of people do I dislike that's in my heart? What problems do I need to deal with? Just pour your heart to God, your heart out to God. Say, Lord, rid me of this. And if I have it towards God, God, if I really look at the New Testament, it's me that has a debt that I cannot pay. It's me, oh God, that does not deserve anything. I'm a wretched man. But thanks be to God for the blood of Jesus Christ that causes me to triumph. So I recognize, God, you don't owe me anything. So one main cure that you can take a hold of for jealousy is to celebrate. When you see God blessing somebody else, you need to be intentional about thanking God and giving them high fives and praise and accolades and say, I'm so thankful what God is doing in your life. I heard it. When you're on Facebook and somebody's putting something on there and the first thing you want to say is, don't say, be the first one to say, congratulations. I'm thanking God for what's going on in your life. Somebody that you resent, somebody you're jealous of, start calling them up and giving them praise. I tell you, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. Last scripture, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4. I think every married couple should read this at least once a month. Everybody should read it once a month. Charity suffereth long. Are you suffering in your life? Are you suffering with somebody else? Good. Supposed to. It's kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Next verse. Do not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. When you're a jealous person, you do exact opposite. Everybody's against you. Everybody's rolling their eyes at you. Everybody's upset with you. You have no way of giving anybody the benefit of the doubt. You always think worst case scenario towards how they feel about you. That's not love. It rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. And one more verse. Beareth all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. I love those last phrases because even if I'm not where I want to get to, then the love of God helps me bear exactly where I'm at. And then for me having the strength to bear where I'm at, I can now believe in all things. And it connects with the next phrase, I can hope all things. I can say, thank God where he's put me now, but I also have hope. He's not done with me yet. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that I can be content where I am now, but I still can hope in the word of God and still say there's more that you are going to bless me with. And God, I'm not concerned necessarily with a time period. I just know that hope maketh me not ashamed. And so it's okay to say thank God for what he's doing in you because I know mine will come. But until mine come, I thank God for the blessing that God put upon your life. I hope all things, and I'm going to believe all things. And when things are not going my way when I want them to, guess what? I will endure all things. Let's lift our hands to him right now. Lord, how is our heart? Lord, I pray in this house right now, God, that you will speak to every one of us, oh God, including me. Help us, oh God, to have a heart check right now. And we fight, we come against a spirit of jealousy. But, oh God, we're so thankful, Lord, when other people are doing well, other churches are doing well, other family members are doing well, other co-workers are doing well. God, we don't have to be jealous of them because we know that you have something for us. And we want to keep our eyes focused on you, Lord Jesus. We want to keep our eyes focused, oh God, on being honest with you, Lord, and being real with you, God. And as that takes place, oh God, you will deal with our heart. You will help us, I pray. You will give us, oh God, strength to bear all things, to believe all things, to hope all things, and to endure all things. And so I'm praying, oh God, a touch of God upon us. Mature us as saints of God. Mature us as believers, and help us be all that you want us to be so that we don't have to have extra baggage in our life that you never told us, oh God, or called us to carry. We pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Now clap your hands in thanksgiving to the Lord. Thank you, God, for your help. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, oh God, what you're going to do, oh God, among the people of God. We will keep our eyes on you. Praise God. God bless you. You are dismissed in Jesus' name. Singles, we'll see you on Saturday at 6 o'clock at our house. If you have a child that needs activities to be a part of that, please let us know so we can get a good count. And then Sunday morning, we'll see you at 10:45 for prayer. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.